Everybody, welcome to a Friday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Captain Maury alongside, as always, we'll take you to three. Normally, we hand it off to our good friend Phil Bonatti at that point. Phil is off today. He has been very, very busy as he was in the Bay Area for Super Bowl week, was in Tulare for World Ag Expo, will be on location Monday for President's Day sales. And so Phil is off today, and he certainly deserves the rest. So we'll take you to three, hand it off to the network. We've got FPU baseball over on 790. We have a busy weekend coming up. And also Fresno State has a lot going on with basketball and both bat and ball sports at home. So I'll go over the entirety of the schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, a little bit later on. Before that, however, we'll get to the weather and then we'll get to Jackson Moore, but remind you about Ed's business, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And when we go over the schedules for both 1430 and 790, I will tell you about the great fundraising that Ed does for the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus at Fresno State. Now, before Jackson comes up, our de facto co-host, to get things started, and we will hit upon the schedule for football, want to spend a few minutes courtesy of our other good friends and sponsors at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing to tell you about the weather. Lee's been in Central California and NorCal since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very competitive pricing, and very timely. Anything you need, leesair.com or 825-533-7825. Lee's, they also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. Jackson Moore is waiting patiently to come aboard, courtesy of that hotline. It's also the way that Phil can bring up guests and the callers from the general public, 559-320-1430. As far as the forecast goes, it is a lovely day for bat and ball sports outdoors today, and that's a good thing since the men get started with their season this evening and the women have a doubleheader at 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock with softball, with Washington and Utah in for the men. But then things are going to change because after the 64 today, and again, watch out for the fog, of course, at night, we find ourselves around 62 or so on Saturday, and then the clouds are in, and by Sunday and a 61, the rain is supposed to arrive. Got like a 10% chance of rain on Saturday. We're up to 70% by Sunday afternoon, 100% by Monday, in the 80 range on Tuesday, and we have chances of rain all the way from Sunday through Thursday. So we'll see with varying degrees what we get. Also, thankfully, supposed to get a lot of snow because we need a snowpack on Monday and Tuesday in particular at elevation. So there could be a lot of rain, could be an inch on the valley floor in a big hurry, depending upon how things play out. And the snow and the atmospheric river could give us a very wet weekend and into next week. After the 62 and 61, we go 55 on President's Day, 52 Tuesday, 53 Wednesday, 54 Thursday. So this is not only a more substantial storm, but it's a lot colder than what we have been experiencing in the mid-60s. We need the rain. We don't want to have the kind of drought conditions we face when we get to spring and summer. It's terrible for agriculture and also pretty bad for residential issues as we deal with those. And we'll see how it plays out in the long term. But for right now, be very careful out there and keep in mind that anytime the rain ceases, the fog comes back. So that's just the reality this time of year. Thanks, everybody, at Lee's, for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825 Lee's. Anything you need, Central Air, plumbing, heating, or roofing. All righty. That having been said, on the Lee's Air Hotline, which, once again, 559-320-1430, our de facto co-host, the king of the bark board himself, Sir Jackson Moore, a lot to talk about today. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I am hanging in there, Jackson. It ought to be an interesting weekend. You know, hockey isn't playing right now because they're in the Olympics. The NHL isn't playing. And we have the forward to All-Star game coming up in the NBA. So are you excited about the All-Star game, Jackson?
I don't think there's any Grizzlies in it, is there? So I'll probably sit this one out.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. Like I said, your Grizzlies know how to go in the tank, so good for them. Although I will tell you this, if the Warriors were smart, they would sit Curry the rest of the year. They'd go in the tank themselves, hope for a lottery pick, and hope that Curry, Butler, and Porzingis could all find a way to be healthy at the same time and start next year like that. But I'm going to guess that the people paying their millions to go to games at Chase Center probably don't like that idea. What do you say?
Yeah, probably not.
There ought to be a mutiny, by the way. Seriously, there ought to be a mutiny, NBA fans, about the number of guys, not that are injured, but the number of guys sitting out for load management or whatever. Can you imagine if you're a family of four and you're going to spend a huge chunk of money to go watch a game and you find out Curry's not playing, Doncic is not playing, and then you've got 10 guys out there, most of them you haven't heard of, and that's how you're supposed to tell your kids it was money well spent. I just wonder when we're going to get the mutiny. I guess never. Is that the case with what the $78 billion deal or whatever they were able to come up with? Maybe I'm looking at it in the wrong direction. What do you think, Jackson?
It's tough as a spectator, especially if you are a family and you're planning it months in advance, probably in some cases. If you're making a weekend out of it, you just have no idea what you're going to get.
Well, all I can tell you, when I wasn't a kid, I wish I could say I was a kid. I was a teenager when Willie Mays was finishing up his career. But the latter portions of his career with the Giants before he was traded to the Mets, the Giants had to actually tell everybody in advance that Mays would not play day games after night games. And this was important because the Giants, of course, because of the weather at Candlestick, played a lot of afternoon games on the weekdays. And so they had to tell people in advance, if you were coming in on a Wednesday afternoon, if the Giants had played Tuesday night and Mays had played, he would not play on Wednesday afternoon. They wanted to make sure people knew that if you were bringing your kids to see him play the one and only time, make sure you didn't do that at a part of the schedule where he would not be playing, because it created tremendous problems. And I know with Curry right now, when the Warriors go east, where you only play one time, there are a lot of those kids with those number 30 jerseys on, and then Steph not playing, usually because of injury. He's not a guy who usually sits out for load management, but because of injury, and all of a sudden, in this case, runner's knee, you have kids who are just incredibly disappointed, and he'll spend some time with them, but they showed up to see him play, and he just isn't there. And it's a tough thing going on right now in the league, and something, frankly, we don't face at the college game. And I want to ask you here, as we go into it, a lot of emails in a variety of different ways, and I want to try to get to some of them. But your overall feeling right now, Jackson, about the energy around Fresno State. We have talked about this over and over again. This has become, and maybe it's because basketball has not been very successful as of late, a football-oriented proposition only. And a lot of people, and you see this on the board, who really pay attention to Fresno State only for football, and they do kind of go into hibernation when the football season ends. Is there a chance that basketball and the bat and ball sports can do what has to be done, which is to proffer a 9-month-long interest in Fresno State? Is it doable in this particular day and age at Fresno State?
There's definitely some ground to make up, especially on the men's basketball side. And I think we've had a few tastes of it this season. A couple Saturday games in January drew some pretty big crowds, at least as big as I can remember in quite a few seasons. Having Wyoming in town and Grand Canyon, nice crowds, exciting atmospheres relative to what we've been used to seeing in the Save Mark Center for most games the last couple of years. And the product was pretty good on the court, whether it was at least a win against Wyoming and an exciting game against Grand Canyon at the very least. And so it feels like maybe it's not too far off from basketball. It just can't be as bad as it was in Wahlberg year one or the end of the Hutt era. It just really drove, I think, even the fringe fans off that would be willing to come on a normal Saturday if the team had a pulse. So there's a chance to get a little bit of that back. We're seeing some positive signs from the women's team coming off the Boise State game, the victory they had recently. That gets a little bit of excitement going in here towards March when or you wonder if maybe they might be able to make a run, and maybe the gap's not as wide between them and the top of the standings as it is for the men. And I think if you're into baseball and softball, you've got plenty to be encouraged and excited about with these two teams this year. It's just, I think there's maybe a little more of a hard line as far as which fans around the Valley are interested in going out to a game or not for baseball, softball. It's probably, you got to be really, really on a roll and have some big time national implications going probably to bring out a Fairweather fan to those sports. But they're certainly within the hunt in their prospective conference standings, and they should be entertaining teams to watch this year. And I'm excited to see what the baseball team can do to start tonight.
Well, Washington in softball wise, and they'll have a doubleheader, the Bulldogs and the Huskies, 4 and 6 o'clock tonight, right? 4, and then the second game, of course, after that. Baseball team, and then they'll conclude that three-game set tomorrow with a single game. Baseball team starts against Utah tonight, the first of 4. They're going to play across the weekend all the way through Monday. And, of course, the basketball team at 2 o'clock at home tomorrow against the Air Force, a game that they figured to win. We'll try to get to the particulars there, but I did want to start with some of the emails in regard to the vibrancy of the programs and what you need and all of that. And the first thing before we get to a fine email from a good friend, Rob, the King of Las Vegas, actually Henderson, Nevada, but close enough, right? Before we get there with his comments, I want to start with another good friend, JJ, who is in the comfort of Orchid in the coastal regions around Santa Maria, and so it's probably 80 degrees and comfortable. I know it's not that warm, JJ, but play along right now. But he was talking about the schedule. You and I haven't had a chance to talk about the basketball schedule or the football schedule because it was released about 2 or 3 hours after you and I were done on air the other day. By the way, what time was that to release things, Jackson? What are they trying to do? A governmental dump late in the evening? What was that about? Trying to hide things?
Track 12 after dark.
It's like you're
going with the theme.
Yeah, that's what the government does at like 8 o'clock on a Friday night because they don't want you to know about it, right? But in looking at it, this flex schedule I noticed on the board as well has caused a bit of controversy. You know that our buddy JJ said his major gripe is that you're asking some schools, he said, like Fresno, to have to contend for a championship by playing more games on the road than at home due to the flex schedule, and that make-up home game is not counting toward the standings. Now, and he's right about that. And he also points out, he said, shockingly, and he said, I hope the sarcasm translates, Boise State and San Diego State were blessed with 4 home games for conference purposes. All right. Now, look, you and I have talked about this, Jackson. When you have only 7 conference games, you're going to have to play a 4-3. That's what the Pac-8, when I was a kid, the Pac was just 8 for all that time. So you always dealt with it. So I'll ask you, the flex game, is this a great way to try to compensate for the lack of equality of a 7-game conference schedule, or is it lipstick on a pig? Is it just trying to fool the public? What about it? Do you look at it and say this was the best compromise and only took place because you have 7 conference games, or is there something more dastardly at play that I don't know about?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of layers to it. If they would have gone 8 conference games with a home and home, I don't think that would have been perceived very well. And they basically put that schedule together anyway and called it a flex at the end with a little bit of opportunity to change some things around. And all of a sudden, that's viewed as a very innovative thing, I think, nationally. And it doesn't necessarily give the same description as a home and home. And it is, I think, probably the most unexpected thing for this. You imagined it would count towards the conference standings, but it's not going to. So that makes it get a little bit confusing. You imagine there's probably going to be a game or two in that last week that don't really mean much, but you're also going to have 2 conference championship contenders who really need to get a W one way or another to keep momentum going and give this conference a chance to get to the college football playoff. So I think personally, which it doesn't even feel like it's being talked at this point because the flex has been so different and interesting and in a lot of ways confusing. I think at this point I would have just preferred to see 5 non-conference games and 7 conference games, because I think once you finally get to that flex week and you see the same opponent for a second time, it's not going to be all that exciting. But I think the intrigue and the unknown all the way up until that point is kind of a win for the conference. 4 home games and 3 away compared to 3 home and 4 away for conference standings purposes. It might still be better than playing 8 total games and one team gets the benefit of seeing a bad opponent twice and another school gets the unfortunate outcome of playing someone good twice. I think just doing the pure round robin, even if the home and away is unbalanced, it might shake out better than if the Bulldogs had to play Boise State twice and San Diego State skates through by maybe playing a Colorado State that's rebuilding twice or something like that. So I think it was good to avoid that scenario.
The criteria they put forth, as you know, about not having someone play in the same venue, is that just a guideline, a recommendation? Can they really hold to that, Jackson, depending upon how it plays out in that final week anyway?
Yeah, it seems like there's pretty much no scenario where they can actually go along with that. And so, again, you could get to the flex. I mean, it is a flex. You could have that week, and they may not change anything at all. I do think the way that they have it set up, it's pretty critical to have that situation because if Fresno State and San Diego State, let's say hypothetically, who are supposed to play each other in that flex week, if they're number 1 and number 2 in the standings, you don't want them to play again before the conference championship, and then 3 times with a back-to-back at the end of the year. You got to avoid that. So I think just for that reason alone, that's big. But for the Bulldogs' case, you could host Texas State instead of San Diego State, let's say, in that scenario, and get an opponent that hasn't been to town. But then you look at the dominoes that occur when you try to move things around, and there doesn't seem to be a real foolproof way to avoid someone going to a destination for a second time. I know some reporters have inquired, and while it's listed on that sheet like it's a kind of a enforced rule, it sounds like it's not so much. They want to avoid it, but they'll do it if they have to, and it seems like they probably will have to if they have to flex any of them.
Well, I know this, Jackson, that as we've talked over and over again about some of the weirdness that we have seen in the Mountain West where the Bulldogs ended up playing Boise State back-to-back, et cetera, it's almost unavoidable when you have, in this respect, a conference of only 8 teams. And by the way, at the end of his email, JJ did say, I think what we're all feeling, and you and I've talked about, certainly we need a 9th team for football ASAP, and that will solve the problem. But I am curious in this regard. If you're going to play a meaningless game at the end of the year, and now look, I don't want this to turn into the Canadian Football League, and I know you're a devotee, as I am, of the Canadian Football League, right, where you have a 9-team league, and at one point, by the way, you had the same nickname for 2 of the 9 teams, Rough Riders. One was all together as one word, one was separate. Now, can you imagine that? You have 9 teams and you still could not separate yourself with your nicknames, for goodness sake. That was finally solved, by the way. But they end up basically inviting everybody but a couple of teams into the playoffs, all right? That's sort of how it works in the Canadian Football League. I say that only as a backdrop to ask you, if you're going to do this with your 8-team conference right now, would you be better off then taking the top 4 teams and just having that last week be for 4 of those teams a semifinal deal and the final 2 the next week, and everybody else will just have to go ahead and pair off with who's ever left? Would that make more sense, Jackson, or would that diminish the conference even more?
I think it would make sense, and I think it was probably the best possible way to go about it, but you just can't afford to put a school in a situation where, let's say, 2 of those teams that have three home games, if they're the one in the four seed, one of those teams right. in the regular season, quote unquote, is getting three home games and five road games, and that's not going to be good for the bottom line. And I think there needs to be a built-in for these teams that they're going to have four home games, and that the fans can expect four conference home games, and you just can't quite guarantee that with the semifinal setup. Yeah, it might have been nice if it was a possibility, at least. You know, maybe what might have paired up, and they could have done that instead of just locking in the championship teams. But there might be something to be said as well about having 2 weeks to prepare for the conference championship game as far as fans knowing where they need to go. That's another part, too, is that with this flex week, it's nice to be Fresno State and be at home and not have to worry about making plans. I can only imagine making plans to go to Washington State on 6 days' notice. There's going to be some places in late November that aren't easy to get to and could be especially difficult to maneuver with the weather.
Oh, you're right. So I guess it begs the question, as you view this, let's just say that this is a very uneasy partnering of the realities of what you have to face for this year. Will it be this year only, Jackson? Will the common sense take over and they will find, even if it's just in an associate status, a ninth team going forward? Or could we be looking at this for the foreseeable future?
That could be this way for a little while. I know they've had some targets and some discussions. I'm just not necessarily sure I see anything that's imminent unless the Mountain West Pac-12 litigation goes the right way for the Pac-12 and they can pick off one more. I think probably makes sense to mirror this current schedule next year, at least for a 2-year run. I know they've left the option to not do this next year, but would make a lot of sense. And then maybe kind of see from there how much longer they need to do it or not.
I would never want to go back to the old PC2A days where Fresno State had only five conference games. But if it is a long-term deal and you find out that every time the team with four home games suddenly ends up winning the conference vis-a-vis somebody who has three, you're going to wonder, since home field does mean so much. I just think they're probably just doing the best they can right now, but I just think they're going to get a little bit more creative, and maybe the semifinal idea would be viable, though I would agree the other four schools that are being left out are going to have to really scramble in order to put the games together. Anyway, we'll see what happens, and JJ, as always, I appreciate the email. I wanted to get to Rob's email again from Las Vegas, and the King had emailed in and was talking about his puzzlement about the fact that there are certain schools that draw so well for football, and he brought up Fresno State, and then others that draw so well for basketball, and he brings up Nevada and Utah State, but they don't draw well for that other main sport. Now, with Fresno State, and I've said this over and over again, and I know that Rob in Las Vegas is aware of this, Jackson, here, if you win, and you win on a national level, I don't care if you're playing tiddlywinks, people are going to show up here if you are nationally competitive. And that is because people here have, and we've talked about it, a chip on their shoulder, as do I. And again, it's the billionth time. It's not an inferiority complex. It is genuine anger, because when you're sandwiched between two major metropolitan areas like LA and San Francisco, you invariably get demeaned and you don't get credit for what you deserve in a variety of different areas of life. Sport is one of them. So for people here in the Central Valley, if you are nationally prominent, whether it was your softball program, your baseball program, or any program, if you're nationally prominent to the point that you have a chance to win national championships, people are going to show up. Now, certain sports like water polo are nationally prominent, but it's new enough that people are still trying to get the drift of that national prominence. But if you hang around at the national level, people will find a way to show up here. However, if you are not nationally prominent, you're going to have a problem drawing people here. So with your basketball program, for instance, when there was prominence, when you were making the NCAAs under Boyd Grant, under Tark, at the early tenure, the early start of his tenure, people were there in droves. It was a happening. Once you failed to do that, once in this case, for instance, you had to go back to 2016 to look for your last appearance in the NCAAs, people are going to drift away. So here in particular, Rob, Las Vegas King, it is all about winning. Even in your main sports, football is always going to be the main interest here. It has been for most all the time. The other schools you're asking about, it's interesting. I will ask you, Jackson, is it the success that Nevada and Utah State have had in basketball? Is that the reason that they do show the way they do, but they just do not ever garner that attendance in football because they never have had national prominence? Or is there something more to this? Is there somehow some intrinsic benefit or draw on certain sports as opposed to others at certain schools? Because, you know, Rob said at the end, he just can't figure it out. And he talked about Fresno State, and he wondered that the boosters and the alumni, and some of them are still mad about, you know, the samurai sword times and the 60 minutes times. I don't know that it could go back that far anymore, but he was wondering exactly what it is that keeps people away here. Two different questions, Jackson. Let's start with a Nevada and a Utah State that Rob brings up. Why is it that they are always front and center basketball? Is it because they win in those sports, or is there something more there as opposed to football, which kind of comes and goes at those schools?
Yeah, I think especially for Utah State, it's such a culture. It's been so long. They've been so good. It's just expected, and it's expected that the crowd's going to be there and be as rowdy as they are. I think maybe more so for Nevada. I just feel like, you know, if you are a football school, and let's say you've got 35 to 40,000 people coming for games on a regular basis, if your basketball team becomes prominent, you can probably find about 10,000 of those 40 or so that would be willing to come out and see that, even if that's not necessarily a diehard basketball fan base. I think Boise State's a really good example. You know, they don't get credit for having one of the best home court advantages per se in the Mountain West, but they've been on a pretty good run here. They've been the NCAA tournament contender for bids many of the last several seasons, and as long as the team hasn't been losing to Hawaii Pacific like they did to start the year, they've usually had pretty good crowds and big attendance numbers. And I think the same could probably go for Fresno State. If you put the same basketball resume over the last decade in the Save Mart Center, you'd probably be getting some pretty solid crowds as well. So I think a lot of it is just prominence as far as the teams that are bringing in fans for football but not for basketball. I feel like when it's the other way around, are there just enough people to translate? You know, if Viejas, if it's got 10,000 plus rocking, there's just not magically 20,000 more Aztec football fans out there that are staying home. It seems like probably the same goes for Nevada, these places that just don't have great football crowds. They do seem to get up for a smaller group of people that can get real loud and make an impact on a different venue.
I'm glad you brought up San Diego State because, as you know, we talked to Steve Fisher on air, and Steve Fisher came from the basketball crazy area of Michigan, of course, the national title, all of that stuff. But he said when he took the job in San Diego that he said he went to the shopping malls to give away tickets and that people in San Diego, though the Aztecs obviously have played basketball for a long, long time, there were people, he said, that just weren't even aware that San Diego State had a basketball program. They, you know, they knew about football. They knew about Eric Coryell and all the stuff that started there and the success. But he said that he couldn't give tickets away and that it was a very gradual process. But again, it was if you, you know, build it, they will come. And he built the program. And now they draw in a great facility, and they draw like crazy. But I'm just wondering, Jackson, because it is not the way it is at Kentucky or Kansas or whatever, it's not part of the culture there. Do you still say at San Diego State that if they fall off the map nationally, that suddenly they're going to be right back where they were before, or have they pushed through enough that there is some sort of tradition now? I struggle with that because Fresno State, I saw this happen in the 60s, since I'm old enough, unfortunately, to remember that, right? I saw the program go from the gym, a at Fresno State to Celent Arena, and then right back to the gym for a while because they couldn't draw anything at Celent Arena. They'd be playing on a Saturday afternoon because the Fresno Aces, who turned into the Fresno Falcons, would be playing hockey that night. We used to show up with a basketball, for goodness sake, to play afterward. That's what we wanted to do on the court. And a lot of the times they're trying to get ready for hockey, so they got the forklift and the hydraulics are taking the basket down while we're trying to play on it. But that was our whole motivation, to show up for a Saturday afternoon game, Jackson. Nobody was showing up for basketball. But then Boyd came along and suddenly everybody was showing up. And the same with Tark early. Then it ended poorly. And then you've had this struggle where you build this facility, you've never have been able to make it the home court you want. So I guess what I'm asking is San Diego State subject to the same whims that we have seen here? And can Fresno State turn it back to where it was when Boyd really had it going, or in Tark's early days? Is it possible?
Yeah, I think if there was a fall off at a program like that, it would still, I think it would have to get real ugly to really drop off to past times. I'm looking at New Mexico because I know the Lobos had some pretty rough years in the Mountain West. It's hard to even remember the Bulldogs had such a big winning streak against them, and just about every attendance figure I'm pulling up from their home games during that stretch is about 10,000, 12,000. So at the very least, they were still selling tickets during some of those times. But I do think what makes those teams special is that they sell out and they're really good. You put those two things together, and that's what makes it so challenging and so fun for those programs. And you know, either one of those things lagging behind takes that little bit of special away from it. So for Fresno State's case, obviously they're kind of the opposite. You got to really do something special to try to capture that and then sustain it in a way that you haven't in a long time to try to find a way to keep it that way. And it's even tougher now with NIL. It feels like before it seemed like it was inevitable that they would either get it figured out or get lucky or get on a roll at some point. And there was a little bit of that with the Rod and Terry era, but a little bit of a different equation now with NIL, if the other teams are affording much better rosters year in and year out on top of everything else that goes with rebuilding the program.
Tomorrow, when you have got a very busy attendance opportunity, meaning you've got three different Bulldog events going on virtually at the same time. I mean, not directly, but certainly within the same window. You've got a basketball game at 2:00 at SMC against Air Force. Again, you have the softball program as a doubleheader tonight playing a single game tomorrow, and you have the baseball team playing a single game, weather permitting, for both of the outdoor games. Jackson, is there enough of a fan base to go around here? I mean, is it the same group we're looking at all the time, or are there really, and I'm not talking about the small core, I mean in the thousands, do you have enough people for individual niche attendance at every sport, or is it that same group we're trying to convince to go certain places all the time?
I would guess after the two losses the men's basketball team has had, not that they were bad losses by any means, but you know, again, then hosting Air Force, which is not the least thrilling opponent on the conference schedule as far as success goes, it probably won't be the same type of crowd they've had for the last couple of Saturdays. Maybe if you are picking and choosing where to go, that would be the Saturday where men's basketball might not win out. So I kind of expected to see it spread out a bit. You know, even when we had the situation where the football team and the men's basketball team played at the same time earlier last fall, the men's basketball team had more people in there than I expected. Maybe the rain that day had something to do with it, but it does go to show it's not all the same group. But I'm curious to see how it's going to be dispersed over the course of Saturday, and maybe if some factors with the men's basketball team will keep the crowd a little lower than we've seen recent Saturdays.
The matchup with Air Force tomorrow, is it taken for granted by a lot of people? The Bulldogs will just win and win easily. I mean, is that kind of the thing you're referencing here?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think once we see the injury report, it might not become so easy to take for granted. I think there's a couple of players that are either going to be out or questionable against the Falcons, and there should be a gap wide enough to where you'd still get a win, but it may very well be a much more competitive game than the first meeting was.
If this basketball team starts winning and winning big, and I'm talking about to the extent, I'm not saying they're going to be San Diego State and playing for a national championship the way the Aztecs did a few seasons ago, but if they are prominent nationally again, and they're making the NCAAs every year, are we going to see 10,000 folks there per game? I mean, that was the premise, right? That was the premise when Selden was expanded from 6,600 to 10,000, that, you know what, we needed a facility that was going to be more than that, 12 to 15,000, because it was going to be a consistent night after night. Look at 10,000, Jackson. Can it be a consistent 10,000 night after night if Fresno State can win at a conference competitive level, or is it going to take that kind of San Diego State run where suddenly you look up and they're playing for a national championship?
Yeah, I think 10,000 is pretty far away as far as what this program needs to do to get there for a regular basis. It does seem like, you know, you figure the Lotto Bowl is about 9,000. If this team is just consistently decent and maybe in the top half of the conference standings and threatening to make a run here and there, you know, maybe you could get a little closer to filling out most of that lower bowl, at least selling the tickets and maybe having 6 to 8 in there, depending on the weekday or weekend, tip-off time, opponent, that kind of thing. But definitely a ways to go here. And while this season's been a significant improvement from last year, there's still a long way to go on that.
Well, one game at a time the rest of the way, and we don't know what the future holds for the coaching staff. You and I have talked about it over and over again, and I'll say it one more time, and I know you agree with me. If you're going to make a change, you better make sure whatever coach you bring in here has got substantial NIL money, because, once again, you can be John Wooden when it comes to X's and O's, but if you're not going to be, as I mentioned the other day, Bill Gates or Steve Ballmer when it comes to money, you're going to have a real problem. And I just wonder, the way things are structured right now, if they don't change, how in the world mid-majors are going to survive unless you have benefactors that are tied directly into the coach. And I bring this up because if you have a pool of money that has to come in, that has to be distributed evenly. You have to have a coach who has the ability to bring monies along, whether it's private money from his own particular group of investors, if you will, in the program, or there's some other way to pick up monies from the general public, whatever it might be. You are going to have to be able to have money, or there's no way. Jackson, I don't know how in the world you build a program. I mean, how can you build a system, as we've talked? I don't care who you are. How can you build a system if you never know who is going to be with you the next year? Remember when we would lament Kentucky and Calipari with all of the one and offs, right? And say, well, how is that? How can you run a program with one and dones? Jackson, one and done's are the reality for everybody now, right?
Yeah, basically the whole roster is one and done, save for a couple of players. And we're talking NIL, especially if a good chunk of it's not coming directly from your head coach and his benefactors. I mean, it's if you're only, I mean, to get from where the Bulldogs are to, say, a 20-win annual team, it's a pretty big gap. And Bulldogs have had plenty of 21 seasons the last decade or so when they weren't even in the discussion for the NCAA tournament. So are you going to put in a bunch of money to have a team that gets around that area and then maybe your football team's on a shoestring budget, or do you go all in on football with what you can go all in for? So lots of discussions to be had and a lot of things to figure out just to get the money in the first place to even have those discussions.
Well, I've mentioned this before, and I should give our great friend Ron Scott a call. And congratulations, Ron. He was honored at City College the other day. Of course, they had a day in his honor for his great accomplishment to the city of Fresno. Honored Ron, who's been a longtime friend. He's also in the Athletic Hall of Fame. I should call Ron and ask him, and I'll see if I can get him on the air, ask him what he would do if Amanda was coming up right now at Fresno State to play softball, where she would be without question a seven-figure proposition for a school somewhere else, whether he could tell his daughter, as much as he'd love to have her stay at home, of course, Courtney went and played at Cal, as much as he'd love to have Mandy playing at home, if he could tell his daughter to turn down $1 million to play at Fresno State. And I'm going to have to ask him that question, and probably a difficult answer. And one thing, Jackson, we've talked about it in the bat and ball sports, in basketball, etc. You look at certain players as the litmus test. And I would say to you that as much as we have heard that Deshaun Gorry intends to stay as long as Vance Wahlberg is here, if somebody shows up with that kind of ridiculous offer, how in the world can he turn it down? You tell me. I want to see him stay. He's been a revelation. He is fearless. We're talking with Ferdy the other day. He's just going to get better. And I know he has extreme loyalty. But, Jackson, if somebody rolls up to you with really life-altering money where you can do some things for yourself and your family you couldn't do otherwise, and you don't know what your professional opportunities are because they are so limited, how can you turn it down? As much as a fan, you might love to have him stay. You tell me.
Yeah, it would be tough for anyone to turn down the type of money that's available right now. I think one thing for Gorry, perhaps, is if Fresno State, look back to Elijah Price last year, they probably had enough money on hand to match what Nevada had, but then are you getting enough value out of your budget, basically, to justify that? And it wasn't going to be the right call. They weren't going to be able to afford a lot of other guys that came in. And I don't think they viewed him as a number one, that's what that salary would have cost. But Gorry, the way that he's playing, and then the Jake Heidbender graduating, I mean, you could maybe make the case that that's your number one guy going into next year and figure out the rest. You probably won't match the type of money that's coming at him, but if you can have the money and tell him he's the guy compared to money and you're maybe eighth or ninth on the roster at a power conference school, maybe there's enough of that there to keep a sophomore around. You can always cash in another year or two down the road. So I think there's a few factors there that might keep him around, but it's going to come down to what the Bulldogs have to offer and if it makes sense or not to even make the pitch in the first place.
But those are the two issues. One, you got to have the money. Two, you have to know the allocation is proper, and it may very well be, particularly if Vance does have that $4 million, et cetera, coming in from other sources, but you still have to distribute that across the board. So it is a unprecedentedly challenging time, let's put it that way, because I never thought, as I've told you, in a billion years, these conversations would take place over the air or in public at all. They should be taking place, as they did in the old days, in some seedy restaurant back in the corner, in the booth, in the dark, if you know what I mean. Okay. All right. Jackson, we are out of time, but I very quickly here to Steve and Clovis. Steve, I will get to this. A 60-second thumbnail, Jackson, about the schedule in football for Fresno State where we started. You satisfied with the home and road for conference for Fresno State as we look at it? I know one of them might be moved to Friday. Is it equitable beyond the flex schedule?
Yeah, it's there's without the 12 teams and the uneven schedules that the Mountain West had last year, obviously everyone's playing the same opponents as far as the standings are concerned, so there's not a lot of disparity. But as far as things go, it's hard to complain much about what you got. Obviously, 3 home, 4 away is not great, but you do get Boise State at home. You don't have very many potentially troubling road trips. Utah State, maybe in early November, could be a cold one. San Marcos weather seems to be pretty mild in November as the Bulldogs go there. But Fresno State only leaves the West Coast once all season long. So there's a lot of things going in their favor. The bye week is pretty evenly scheduled right there in the middle. So, San Diego State on the road might be the toughest game of all, and that's just a short road trip to a nice weather area. So I think a lot of things are lining up pretty well for the Bulldogs here. It's just, can you overcome the 3 home, 4 away? Will be the biggest question.
Right. And by the way, Jackson does have a deep dive about the schedule on the board. And as I let you go, special still underway, the 50%. Where are we at here?
Yes, it's currently 50% off a year. Comes out to just a little over $5 a month that way to join on your first year.
well worth it. Get the insider part of the board because it has a lot of great information you don't get anywhere else. Jackson, appreciate it. Have a great President's Day weekend. I will talk to you on Tuesday, my friend. Take care.
All right. You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right. Our de facto co-host, parkboard.com's Jackson Moore. Take a break, tell you about the schedule, and we'll send you back to the network. And we have FPU basketball tonight coming up on 790, All-Star Game over the weekend. Tell you all about all of that after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 54. A couple minutes ago on the show. Busy sports weekend coming up in the Valley. I want to mention before we go over the schedules for both 1430 and 790 that Bulldogs are home basketball-wise 2 o'clock tomorrow against Air Force. Softball home today, doubleheader against University of Washington and Margie Wright Diamond, 4 and then 6 o'clock, second game following, of course, after the 4 o'clock. And they'll wrap that three-game setup tomorrow at the Diamond. And the baseball team starts their season with a four-game set against Utah, 6:05 tonight, and they'll play single games through Monday. All of that is weather permitting, and mentioned that we're going to see rain by the weekend itself. How much? We'll find out, and we'll see if it does impact games, particularly Sunday, Monday, etc. You can figure that one out yourself. But both sides of Cedar are very busy, that's for sure. As far as our schedules, they're brought to you by our great friend Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. They're under one roof, 449-4500, precisioneng.net for more information. Again, mention this, that Ed does such great fundraising through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. The goal, as always, to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and we commend Ed for benefiting the Valley and, in specificity, his alma mater, Fresno State. As far as our schedule goes, FPU baseball on 790 at 5 o'clock today. College basketball tomorrow. NBA All-Star Game coming up on Sunday. And, of course, next week, a week from today, the Lakers get back to action for real. The Sharks will get back to action when the NHL goes back after the Olympics. By the way, the U.S. women's team winning again, the hockey team winning easily over Italy today. Unless Canada can find a way to pull out a miracle, there's no way to stop the U.S. women from picking up a gold medal. They are as big a juggernaut as you're going to find. The men beating Latvia the other day, they are very early in their process. The women already through the quarterfinals now. And, of course, all that stuff is on Peacock and on NBC. I think you know that already. As far as our regular programming goes, Bill normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with his fine show Behind the Bench. Again, great conversation. You can always reach Phil on the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. On Thursdays at Fashion Furniture, you have got the best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well, El Paso across from River Park, and we bring this up all the time, and that is if you can't stop in person, give him a call on that Lee's Air hotline, and he will get you on the air as quickly as possible. He has the 3 hours most of the time. And on Monday coming up, on President's Day, a couple of things. One, Rod Avedikian there at Fashion Furniture has some great President's Day sales going on there furniture-wise. Phil will be at Roger Dunn, as always, for the President's Day sale. He'll be on from 11 a.m. to 2 on Monday. And then I'll come up in the normal time slot at 2 o'clock. So check everything out with Phil. It's a great, great show, Behind the Bench. Paul Metters with two fine shows. The Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics on our sister station, the Deuce 790, 6 to 7 on Wednesday evenings. And then Paul has his long-running show, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon on 1430 on Saturdays from First String Sports. We're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1, at att.net, TDAD, the number one, at att.net. First names are fine. Robert, I got your email. I am praying for you. I hope you don't have to go through another surgery again. You have been through hell and back, and I admire you so much for the courage you have been able to show. A lot of people wouldn't be able to pull through the way you have, and I know you're strong enough to get through this one too, but I am thinking about you, Paisan, that's for sure. As far as the station itself, anything you need, 1430 ESPN Fresno.com. You find the live links and podcast there. And then one more time, want to thank Jorge, want to thank Jackson Moore. Paul will be with me on Monday. And thanks, as always, to everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They have that $99 tune-up special going on. Make sure you have your central air, your heat checked out. And thanks to everybody at Ed Dunkel's Business Precision and Civil Engineering. They do so much for the Valley. And Ed, one of the great benefactors that we find in the Valley. And, of course, the same applies to Rod Avedikian and everybody at Fashion Furniture. We will see you guys on Monday. Enjoy your President's Day. Don't forget about the 11 o'clock to 2 that Phil will be at Roger Dunn. And we'll talk to you at 2 o'clock on Monday on KFIG Fresno.